podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, hello, here we go, it's the Cop Hype Podcast.
Fellas, what do we say about that? Fuck me. I'm throwing me fucking shit everywhere going, Liverpool have fucked it again. And then Alisson comes up and scores an header like he's fucking Robbie Fowler. What the fuck? Liverpool have just snatched it. I don't know where. I can't believe it, boys. I can't fucking believe it. Oh my God. He wants to go first and try and put that into words. I've got no words to describe that.
Make him a statue.
Yeah. Well, I fucking cannot believe what I've just seen. I really can't. He's coming up for the corner and you're going, ah, fuck off. Here we go, last roll of dice. Because I've conceded it. I've gone, yeah, whatever, it's done. 1-1. Keepers never score from corners. Fuck off. What do I know about football? Jack shit.
Mate, I thought it was going to be another one of those typical Liverpool corners that don't beat the first man.
Yeah. It was the best ball in the match from a corner. Fucking hell.
Mate. Yeah,
mate, well, fantasy points you'd have if you had Alisson as your keeper.
It's just how well he took it, though. It was like boom, like the proper, like he's a
if Ronaldo that. Would do that, like it'd be like, ah, oh, yeah, that's normal.
Oh,
that is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I honestly can't believe that what we just witnessed. I really can't. I'm fucking shocked, but so happy at the same time because they were fucking shit.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was going to go into a bit more detail on the game, but like obviously Thiago was boss, wasn't he? To concede early as well, especially like that, and then we fucking get back in it and get that goal finally, and then you're thinking, we did play well, to be fair. We just couldn't, it was just that final ball or final touch, weren't it? Like where we needed some composure. Trent had a good chance at the end where he cuts in left foot and you're like, bury that, and he just fucks it. And there's just certain moments where we just like, didn't have that composure, and then you think it's gone, don't you, up until that point? What did you, Gwed, I'll come to you, Tim. What's your, I don't think you've said a word yet because you haven't had the chance, but how are you feeling?
Yeah, just a bit of a mental game, wasn't it, really? Because I had personally turned this, I'd watched it on the stream and I turned it off because it was just a bit like, I'm not watching this by the full-time whistle and hearing Martin Tyler chat some shit about the Champions League hopes being finished. And yeah, exactly. And then this I'd, following on my phone and I see 2-1 and Alisson in the 96th minute. I said, what? This has got me some sort of error from the app I was using. I'd switched the stream on it slightly behind. And I seen him take a bloody header like aww, a centre forward. I was like, holy shit. It was a good performance, wasn't it? It was. We were just lacking in creativity in the final third. But the one thing that stood out for me today was the fact that Fab and Thiago just looked better and better alongside each other game by game. They were superb today. They were superb against Man United. And, you know, that's 6 wins in 6, I think, when they've started alongside each other. So, huge, another huge performance from the pair of them.
Yeah, and Matt, what are you thinking? I think Jay Mars will just get removed from the stream here at this point because he's just doing Alisson headers, which I'd love to, I like seeing, to be fair. But Matt, I thought that Mitelli had either just got corrupted by aliens and something wrong was going on. What did you think when that happened, when that went in? Because there's no point talking about anything else now. That's the best, the Wijnaldum goal that secured us top four that one time. Sorry, let me just do this. That goal from Wijnaldum, that one time was to get a top four was good, but that is just, if we get top four now, obviously because of that.
What is going on?
What's he doing?
There we go.
If we get top four now, on the back of that, obviously there's still fucking Burnley and there's still Palace as well, but if that's like, I mean, beating United was a catalyst, but to score an header in the final minute from your keeper, that's just some next level shit, isn't it?
We need to get top four now. Like, it has to happen, surely. If Alisson's coming up near post 94th minute and just doing a crouchy special, I'm shocked. I'm pretty sure that when Firmino gave him a hug after full time, he was telling him that you're going to take my position.
I think he was quite emotional, wasn't he? Obviously, he's had a tough time this season. His dad passing away in the circumstances, that must have been horrendous. Doesn't matter who you are in the world, that affects you. And he's then come up and fucking scored that. But boys, I don't even know what to say. It's
mad because like seconds before that, I was telling my dad, and as much as I dislike Divock Origi at the moment, I was like, why isn't at least Origi on as a man up top? Fuck it, don't need him. Put Ali up front.
Yeah, once Kelleher's back. Well, I think was he on the bench today? Just put Kelleher in goal, put Ali up top. Just go Salah, Bobby, and Big Ali up top. Fuck it.
Auxiliary strike. He's massive. He is massive. just same as Jay. I saw him coming up, and I was like, I turned to my dad and said, "Imagine he scores," knowing full well that this guy's not going to. He's not going to get anywhere near the corner.
Well, just have a look at the comments. 1892 Reds podcast. Alison Becker, you beautiful man. Fucking hell. Yeah, well, we can't talk all, but let's go to the beginning of the game where West Brom score a decent goal, to be fair, and you're like, fuck's sake, got to come from behind again. And it's just like, fuck's sake, but we did. What was that, sorry?
And Alisson equalises, because Alisson's all our goals.
No, but let's Ali's goal is just up there with my favourite goal of all time. It's up there with fucking Champions League goals, that finals and all everything. But Salah's goal, fuck me, that was amazing, wasn't it? The way he did that, Tim, it was just like it was out of nothing, and you're just thinking hit it, but from that angle it's a bit difficult. But fucking hell, it was a terrific finish, round by Mo.
Yeah, it reminded me of the goal against Leicester where Bobby had a
What's going on here, boys?
Fuck's sake. There you go.
Go on, Tim, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, it reminded me a bit of the goal against Leicester where Bobby had a nice little flick to him and he hit it first time into that far corner. Yeah. But it just kind of popped off the screen because you were just like, oh, it's ball's rolling nice and slowly to him, and it's kind of like in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden he swings his foot at it and it's in the bottom corner. But yeah, just another superbly taken Mo Salah goal. You know, it's what you've come to expect at this point. I mean, it was a bit out of nowhere in terms of it wasn't like it was blatantly falling to him or anything like that. But it was obviously a bit scruffy in the build up in terms of I don't think Mane passed it to him. I think it was more of a half tackle, half West Brom player just miskicking it or something along those lines. But yeah, it was a superb finish. Superb. No keeper would have saved that. Put it that way.
Yeah, and then that was a good time as well. Obviously, half an hour gone, and you then set yourself up, don't you, Matt, for half time. And right, at least we've got a goal, because I was fearing the worst. Once we conceded that first goal after 15 minutes, you're like, fucking hell, they're gonna have 10 men behind the ball. And they never, to be fair, they surprised me that they didn't do that. Obviously, they knew that we had centre halves who obviously aren't nowhere near the level of what we're used to in Van Dijk and Gomez or whatever else matter. And they were just playing that ball over the top and they were getting joy. So I understand their tactics, but 1-1 half time, and then the amount of, I'm just gonna look at the stats now actually. So we had 6 on target and 13 off. So what's that, 19 shots we had today, which is just mental. And there's been many times this season, I think, where that happens and we don't get over the line or whatever. But I'm just looking at the table now, boys, and we're only one off Chelsea thanks to that fucking beautiful header by our number one. Our number one goalie has just scored an header in the fucking in the stoppage time. I just can't. It doesn't. I'm just. Yeah,
the thing is, if it pops up on your phone saying like goal Alisson, a goal from a goalkeeper, you're assuming it's like an Asmir Begovic, Paul Robinson situation where they're just sort of and it's just caught some wind and bounced over. Not that he's gone up and the most beautiful glancing header into the side netting that you'll ever see. He won't do that again if they give him 100 crosses.
It was a good ball by Trent, to be fair. And it was like, I think, one of the commentators said it might have been a knobhead Tyler, to be fair. Oh, they just haven't marked him. I was like, why would you, though? Why would you? Why would you? You just go, yeah, if it goes to Alisson, it's just going to hit him and not go in.
Well, yeah, West Brom's defenders are probably hoping it fell to Alisson.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah, 1890 Reds podcast. Honestly, what the fuck? Shout to the house down. Wife told me to shut up, said the goalkeeper scored, and she agreed to shout and get the fucking Liverpool. We've got another one here from Darwinian Chimp. Phillips was excellent today. Yeah, he was, to be fair. He was really good. I think after like the first couple of minutes, he took a bang on the head, didn't he? How did you react to that, Tim, when you had that out-of-body experience whilst you were playing and also watching?
Just got back up, mate.
he was good today, weren't he, Phillips? I just said they're like not the same level, but we all know they're not the same level as what we're used to. But Nat Phillips was a fucking a beast, like he has been since he's came into the side and stepped up.
Yeah, he's been he's put in another performance of which you've come to expect of him at this point. He's been consistently playing at this level for a couple of months now, and you know, I firmly believe that when he's got someone of true world-class quality alongside of him, he's going to be looking, you know, like a seriously good defender. Another classy performance from him, you know, again, big with the heads, you know, and made a guy cut a guy's eye and all that kind of stuff. I thought it was his head, to be honest. When they said it was an elbow, I was like, oh, actually, that's kind of surprising, to be honest. I thought he would have just fucking nutted him, but...
Well, I did say last week that he does practice on lampposts, so I'm surprised, like, his head's just that strong and, like, nicely rounded, so if it hits someone, it just fucking carves them into two, so it wouldn't surprise me.
I was going to say, it's the guy who's, I can't remember, is it Bartley, I think his name is, he's lucky it was his elbow, because I think if Nat Phillips would have connected with his head, he would have died.
Imagine that. I mean, we shouldn't joke about people dying on the pitch, but fucking hell, that is that, imagine getting headbutted by Nat Phillips. That would be I don't know if there's anything worse than dying where like you just kind of collapsing on yourself or something. Just imagine that it just like I don't know,
cease to exist.
Yeah, you just like Thanos just clicks his fingers and he just dust appears.
Mate, we've just compared Nat Phillips to Thanos. What the fuck?
Title of the podcast, Nat Phillips to Thanos. But Matt, Nat Phillips was good, but I thought Reece Williams looked a bit shaky now and then, but towards the end of the game, there's little passes inside and he was winning all his headers. There was a chance they had off a corner where he was kind of pinned in under two people and he still got his head on it and cleared it away. But actually what we haven't talked about is when it was 1-1, they should have really, that goal should have stood, shouldn't it? Like, if that was Liverpool, I would have been fucking livid.
That was harsh. That was really harsh. VAR just doesn't cease to piss me off. It just, that's all it does. Every week there's something else. And like against Newcastle, even the decisions that go Liverpool's way now, they're so inconsistent that they wind me up to no end, because it's great in the moment for us, but then you think, well, there's decisions like this going against us all week and they just need to fix it, because I'd be pissed, like you said, if that went against us, because that's shocking.
Yeah, I don't know. There was a few, and I mean the one that was annoying me that they were talking about at half-time was that, you know, when we scored the first one and Fabinho gets obstructed by the ref and then I think Redknapp's going, it's not a free kick. Well, if he's Fabinho was going to get the ball, he gets the ball, but he has to kind of change his body position to get there. So, I mean, that's an easy one, isn't it, Tim? Surely, like, he's obstructed our flow. Fabinho's gave it away. I don't know, I'm not like too au fait with the law, but I'm pretty sure that if you get an obstructed player and it affects our rhythm, it should be brought back to the team who's just lost it because of the referee being involved, surely?
I think it was personally. Ooh, Tommy.
Sorry, I was going to agree, to be honest. I think it is a bit of another odd one, but, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think that move changes much. West Brom managed to get more players behind the ball because of it. So, at the end of the day, I don't think it has too much an effect on the actual outcome of the goal. Had that come to absolutely nothing, would we be looking at it? No. So, and was it a pass, you know, to Mo Salah directly from that free kick? No, you know, there was three or four things that happened afterwards that probably would have happened anyway. So yeah, it's a bit of a confusing one. I know the actual their disallowed goal is actually, by the letter of the law, it's actually the correct decision, because the guy is standing in offside position, obstructing Alisson's view of play. And I know that Scholes, and I think Arsenal had one at Leicester where they had a goal disallowed for something that was way, way worse than that, was less clear than that. I think a guy was standing, you know, just off to the side of Schmeichel and was given for the same thing, or disallowed for the same thing. So, yeah, by the letter of the law, it's a ridiculous law, but because at the end of the day, it's understandable, because a guy shouldn't be able to stand in front of a goalkeeper offside and not let him see the ball. But, you know, either way, in the middle of a football game and in such a crucial point and such a big goal for West Brom, it's it is a ridiculous decision. So,
I mean, yeah. We're getting a luck buck. Like, we've had our fair share of unlucky moments this season. Now Yota's injured again.
Yeah,
let's not bring up the centre backs and all the VAR decisions that have gone against us. Like, yeah, the VAR decision was, I think, fortunate for us. Yes, I think the referee, the free kick that got us, led to our goal, was also a bit soft. I think I've seen the referee been used as a way to get to dribble past players. Like, one of my favourite Messi clips, he just jinx around the referee and the referee runs into a defensive player and play continues. But it's soft, but I'll take it. We've had enough go against us.
Yeah, I know. It's just one of them where you're like, well, fuck it. We'll take anything we can get at this stage. After, I mean, if I think there's a guy on Twitter who does, like, week on week, who's had the most VAR decisions against them, and it's I think Liverpool are still top of that. So fuck it, we'll take anything we can fucking get at this stage. But boys, I just want to talk about my favourite, Thiago. I mean, Chris has just put it in there, Thiago, with a little fire emoji. But Timmy was fucking, he was central to everything good today, weren't he? He was just on another planet. He was just it was passed the ball to him. Yeah, he'll do something on it. He was top class today, weren't he?
Yeah, he's just a different level of class to the majority of the players on the pitch, isn't he? I think he's starting to feel more and more comfortable in that role now. He's played a few games in a row. He's starting to kind of understand where Fabinho's going to be. Like, when they started playing, Fabinho originally switched back into midfield, they kind of bumped into each other a couple of times, and, you know, but he's starting to get a hold of where Fab's going to be and the runs the front three like to make and where Trent's going to be and Robbo's going to be on the pitch, and he's starting to be able to pick it up and kind of fill in that kind of Xabi Alonso role of, you know, picking it up in the middle, dictating the play, playing it short, playing it long, playing it in between and basically just spreading the ball a lot around. And what's been brilliant for me is the fact that he's becoming more and more of a threat going forward as well. He's having two or three shots a game, you know, from outside the area, and a couple of them being blocked, and, you know, he obviously scored against Southampton. But this is a Thiago we expected, and with some semblance of consistency around him and with the fail safe of Fabinho behind him, he looks more and more comfortable, and he's starting to really, really show his class towards the end of the season.
Yeah, and Matt, are you looking forward to next week against Burnley when Thiago's playing free balls to Alisson Becker and Ali's just chipping the keeper in there?
You know what? Considering that Ali's conversion rate's 100%, I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't.
Oh, mate.
Ali's got the best conversion rate in the Premier League.
Yeah, fucking hell. Yeah, should we play of the year just for that goal alone? Yeah, fucking hell, mate. I still can't believe it. Tom Baker just said Thiago's starting to show why he was brought in. Yeah, spot on. And Chris just said, agree with Tim. He's taking more and more responsibility. But Matt, what are you thinking about Thiago? Tim has just covered it, and he was just boss today. That little jink he does where he jinks to the left and cuts back in, it shouldn't work, but it works every time, doesn't it? It's just like, he's just on that. There was one moment, I think it was in the second half, where he plays a ball like kind of behind him and like curls it round into like a player that isn't even on screen, and you're like, oh, who's that to? And it was like a perfect ball. It's just stuff like that where he's just a cool head, and he's starting to grow into this role, and it's perfect timing, obviously, for us that he's doing that, and also for next year. The old stanky leg. But yeah, especially next year when, like we said, we've got players back, like the amount of players we're missing is just growing week on week. Like, no Kabak again, no Hotter, obviously all the other fucking other ones as well. He's picking up and taking the mantle of this team at the right time, isn't he?
Yeah, well, add Naby and Ox to that new injury list as well, because they've dropped off the face of the earth too. But yeah, I mean, Thiago's starting to look a bit more like his first appearance against Chelsea, where he just bossed it in the second half before everything went downhill for him, unfortunately. I think Carragher was on commentary, said it perfectly. He was running the game from midfield. He sets the tempo. He does everything. There was a moment in the first half where he picked out Trent, who was on the edge of the box, and I didn't think it was on. I mean, I couldn't see the pass, and I'm watching from like an aerial view thanks to the TV. And so the West Brom player's coming out, and it looks like he passes it to the West Brom player, but he's obviously taken into consideration that player's running forward and he's not going to be able to adjust quickly. He's mad. He's Einstein on the ball. I love him.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. I can't say enough about the fella as you know. He's just an absolute dynamo. But who else should we talk about? I'm just keep thinking about that Alisson header. I don't want to just get on my phone and just watch it on repeat for the rest of the night. But
I'm trying to think of moments in the match and it just keeps going. Oh, Ali.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll ask you something, Mick. How do you think Mane performed? Because obviously there was a big kind of bust up between him and Klopp, and obviously the news that he came out and obviously apologised to Klopp privately. But I've seen some mixed reviews on Twitter. What did you think?
He's not quite there. Like there was a few moments like where he drops his shoulder and he cuts inside, and then plays a good ball in, and it's nothing comes of it. But the pace and the directness is still there. It's just the final ball and having the confidence, isn't it? That's just like it just seems to be an ongoing thing that isn't going to be resolved this year. It's going to be next year. Like the people saying he's finished, they're just talking major shite. Burst of pace is still there. That, like I said, directness and wanting to get in behind, that's still there. There's a couple of times where I think Mo played him in once and he ran too early and it basically would have been one-on-one if he would have held his line. But yeah, if Hotter's fit, I don't know if he might not have started again. He might have went with Hotter again, to be fair. It's just that Hotter was injured that he's got a chance, and you knew he was going to be more fired up for today after obviously not shaking Klopp's hand and whatever else. But I'm thinking now of like going away to Burnley and it's just going to be the same game again, isn't it? Imagine Ali scores again.
He hasn't hit the heights this year, Mane, and he probably isn't going to be himself until next season. But he is still world class. He still will be. But I'll put big money on him scoring the goal that gets into the top four.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. Like that's what I've been saying. Like this last at least 10, 15 games where we've been playing him. And it's like, well, you just need to keep playing him to kind of just hope. He's too good to leave to be left out, I think, isn't he? Like, he needs to be kind of just played into form, and it's obviously not happening because we've only got, two games left now. But he's too good not to bounce back next year, isn't he, Tim, to kind of what people are thinking, just like he's done and whatever else. He's going to... It wouldn't surprise me if he just bangs in a shitload next year, especially if we get the Champions League as well. That's going to lift the whole squad, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's hard because it's just such a contrast with his season last year. For me, last year, he was the best left winger on the planet. And I would have had a debate with anyone, Neymar, Ronaldo, you could have taken your pick. I would have picked Sadio Mane last year. To be at that level and then drop to this level, obviously it's, like you said, it's very obviously a mental thing. You know, the burst of pace is still there. It's just that confidence to finish, that quick thinking. And I reckon it's just down to fatigue. But, you know, for me, again, just it was exactly the same performance we've seen time and time again this year from Mane. It was all doing all the right things and then just at the last minute losing the ball or picking the wrong pass or a shot that he normally sticks in the side netting, you know, and you see him wheeling away celebrating, you know, it's gone wide, or, you know, his movement isn't quite there. You know, he's not as opportunistic as he normally is. And for me, that's just a fatigue, you know, mentally fatigued thing that he will get over. And like you said, I think he'll probably end up having a fairly quiet summer fingers crossed, he won't be, you know, getting hurt or anything. You know, he's not got Euros to attend. So, I think that we'll see the best of Sadio Mane again next year. And I think that we'll see some real competition in that front three, because I think Bobby was actually pretty good again today. I think he was he put in a performance worthy of the captain's armband, and I think he was unlucky not to score that goal, because what a finish that would have been.
One last question, because for both of you, because I've been thinking about this, and I think there's genuinely maybe, I think there's only about three or four that I'd say are in contention for this, but who do you think's our player of the year?
I think the easy answer is Salah, isn't it, really? Because what's that? Is 20? That's 22nd goal in the league today, which level with Harry Kane is 31st of in all comps, is just crazy, really, when you think how second half of the season we've like really, really struggled, and he seems to just consistently score goals. And like we said today, another world-class finish out of nothing, really. I had no right to score from that angle.
That's what he does, which is weird, though. And I was telling this with my dad, that when he does it on instinct, he bags. But when he's got time to like slow down and think about it, more often than not, he misses. And if you could just, I don't know, get that little bit of composure, imagine the heights that he could hit.
I know. Scored 31 if he has, like you said, a bit more composure when he's got time on the side. He could have fucking 40, couldn't he? But Chris has just said Mo or Nat, and I mean, Nat Phillips has just been boss, hasn't he, Tim, since he's came in. The fact that out on loan to fucking second division of Bundesliga last year, and the fact that he's coming in and done so well, having so many different centre-back partnerships back there, he's been a testament to just having good work rate and just like fighting for the cause, like just like Jamie Carragher style, like just up for a scrap and clearing everything, but bringing the ball out from defence as well. He's that's kind of something he's kind of got a lot better at in the last couple of games anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, you certainly wouldn't receive any flack for making a case for Nat Phillips, especially considering what he's had to kind of deal with this season in terms of the inconsistency of the partnerships that he's had to kind of play alongside, and, you know, be it Reece Williams, Kabak, I think he played alongside Matip at one point for one game. I think there's a good shout in there, but for me, it would be disrespectful to give it to anyone but Mo. You know, I think that in terms of, if you want to say a single-handed carry, you know, I think he's scored at this point, 31, so he's probably got three times more goals than anyone else on the team, all competitions. What's Sadio on, 11 or 12, I think, probably next in line, Bobby with 10. You know, so for me, it's no competition. What we're seeing from Mo Salah is something that will go down in the history of this club. He's had one of the best 4-year stints that we've ever seen, and you know this is unprecedented. He's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. And if he wins the Golden Boot this year, what would it be? 3 and 4 or 4 out of 4? Like that's mental.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I mean. Mo's got it, because Mo's goals have got us where we are. And I think definitely Nat Phillips needs to get an honourable mention. I think there's increasing rumours that we're not making Kabak permanent. And if that's true, I think that's solely because of how Nat's performing. Because Konate looks sealed. And if you're not going to take up Kabak, then surely Phillips is going to have a big part to play in this squad going forward. And just to throw another name in, I'd say Robbo has been probably our most consistent player. I don't think his levels have dropped all season. Whereas you could say Salah has gone through dry spells. You could say Trent had that sticky patch at the start of the season. Nat's been quite consistent, but I think Robbo has been probably the best performing player that we've had all year without dipping.
Yeah, I think Robbo,
without rest as well.
Yeah, he started good. He had a little dip, but he's always a willing runner, isn't he? He's always, I mean, in the game against Man United, especially, that little clip where Rashford's running free and he just chases after him, wins the ball and sets us off on a counter-attack. That's just him all over, isn't it? And I think it's difficult when he's so reliant, really, on Van Dijk, having Van Dijk next to him, because he can just bomb on and whatever else and play his normal game, which is going forward. But he is a good defender, but it's different when you've got Reece Williams, whatever. I mean, as good as Reece Williams has done, he's not played badly. He's done quite well as well again today. But it's difficult because we're such a structured side, aren't we? And any losing certain players like Van Dijk and whatever, it's going to have a big impact. But yeah, Robbo definitely in there. Salah, like you said, another one. Like, just looking at Salah's goal scoring, like 44 in his first year, 27 in his second, 23 in his third, and then 31 this year. It's just fucking hell. It's just, you can't even believe those levels, can you? I think he's like 12th in the all-time top goal scorer chart to Liverpool, which is just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, there's also missed 100% conversion Alisson Becker that we haven't.
Oh, mate. Fucking hell. I mean, we should just talk about that. Go ahead, Tim. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what else we can say to sum up that goal. But I mean, we're on the half an hour mark, so we might as well kind of wrap it up a little bit. But I just can't get it.
The perfect way to describe it is I'm going to watch the highlights later. And I'm going to celebrate just as much when that goal goes in later as I did at the time, because I still can't believe that happened.
My phone's been going mad, just going, has Alisson just scored? Alisson Becker just scored a winner for fucking Liverpool in a game that we needed to win. Oh my God. But boys, let's leave it there, because we all want to go and grab a beer and whatever else and just watch that. That editor. I just want to get on Twitter and just see what people, because Twitter's actually a boss place when Liverpool win games. So, I mean, looking at shite when we draw, or like when the team news is out on Firmino's captain. Why is Firmino captain? It's like, have you got nothing better to fucking do than moan about who's captain of the fucking team? Just fucking get on with it.
That did shock me. I was surprised at that.
But there's a system, isn't it? Isn't it like the longest serving player? If everyone's out, the longest serving player gets it. I thought that was a system. And then if you go against the system randomly for one game, surely that creates more fractions in the team than it does help them. So,
I think it was just nice to see. I was just like, ooh.
Your favourite with the captain's armband?
Yeah, man. Because I wasn't here for the United one, so can I just say how excited I got when we're winning 3-1 and Bobby had a second? I was like, there's no way he's going to get a hat-trick. We're going to win 4-1 and I'm not on this damn podcast.
I've never seen our group chat so lively. Bobby scored a second. We were like, Matt, it's happening. He's going to get an hat-trick for the first time. But obviously, I think that was, he's one of a few to get a brace at Old Trafford. So even that in itself to score two. I mean, I've got a few mates, unfortunately, Man United fans. They were getting absolutely battered, because there was one in particular who just says, absolutely battered. Yeah. Firmino's shit. He never scores. And he goes to Old Trafford and bangs into in their own backyard. He couldn't fucking writ it. fucking hell. But we'll go and get out of here, because we need to go and watch Alisson Becker scoring the winner in a Premier League game in the last minute. What the fuck? Just fucking stuff dreams are made of. But yeah, nice one to Tim, nice one to Matt, nice one to Jay for like what, 14 seconds, and then we just saw an Alisson Becker bobblehead for about 4.5 minutes before he fucked off. But nice one everyone for the comments. Like the video, please. Drop us a subscribe, and we'll be back. I don't know when the next game is. I don't even know.
Wednesday, Burnley.
Okay, Tuesday then. And see Alisson Becker back up top for the Reds, scoring goals. See you in a bit, everyone. Podcast Network.